Hey, folks. Welcome back to Who Booked This? I'm Stephen Graham.
I'm J.R. Goldberg.
And on this week's episode, we're talking about not but one, but two things, which is not what we normally do.
No, and they're both equally good, I would say.
They are. So they actually go together, too. So this is not just like two oddball things. So at first, we're talking about Roddy Piper's tryout, I guess we'll call it, from Nitro. And then we're going to talk about the uncensored 97 main event, which has Roddy Piper's team, which isn't the one that tried out.
None of whom – no one who tried out made the team. Spoiler alert.
I have the reason – I have some insider scoops on why that is. And I have an interview with Stevie Ray talking about the situation, which I'll insert into the podcast a little bit later. But first, man, okay. So basically, NWO is running wild. It's early 97.
They are.
Dennis Rodman is around with Hogan because he's cool.
Dennis Rodman was very cool in 1997.
Yeah. So WCW booking team, or the championship committee, or whoever it was, decided, hey, we have this great plan. We're going to make three teams, one the NWO, one Team WCW, and one Team Roddy Piper.
Which is, like, all right, what was the reason? I'm not going to watch, like, five Nitros before this to figure what was the reasoning that Piper against his own team? It is never explained.
No, it's just Roddy Piper beat Hogan twice.
He put him in the sleeper twice.
Yeah.
But like, again, wouldn't, if you were WCW and you had a guy on your roster that had beat Hulk Hogan twice, wouldn't you want that guy on Team WCW?
I don't think Roddy Piper was ever signed to WCW. I think he
really
was always... Well, he was, but like, I mean, sure. Storyline wise, I think he was a guy that came in and just faced Hogan. And I don't think he was like official part of the roster. He was just like,
I see,
a special appearance guy.
They did make him commissioner for a while. You'd think
that was later on. I think he signed the contract later on. But let's get to, what happens.
All right.
If he teams
before we talk about what happens. So, like, I watched, like, I skipped around this Nitro, right? This Nitro, by the way, has a Eddie Guerrero versus Ultimo Dragon match on it.
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty good. The finish of that match is Ultimo Dragon hits a crossbody, and then Eddie Guerrero floats over, and in the float over, his feet on the ropes.
Amazing.
It's really, really good.
I like that.
But at any rate, that is way better than what we're about to talk about.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is one of the highest rated Nitros ever.
Yes. this is the peak of wrestling, according to the business people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just to clarify before we move on to the segment.
Sure.
This is basically a Pustas match where if each team wins, they get a special prize, which we'll talk about whenever we get to Uncensored. But I wanted to make it clear what's happening.
Yeah, so that's the three-team thing. But so this match, anyway. So one of the things, the match before this monstrosity occurs, I just want to point out that the announcers are all talking about whether or not Piper is actually there. And I just love how wrestling is the only thing where, like, one of the major conceits is that no one at any time has any idea who is actually in the building.
That is a thing all the time.
Yeah.
Or will the guy show up?
Guys show up like 10 minutes before they come out, right?
Yeah.
Like, No one has to be anywhere, right? People just drive up, and then they're like, oh, shit, he's here.
And then he comes out like 3 minutes later, right? Like,
it's ridiculous.
That is unbelievable. I never thought about it until this. But
Watch some Nitro, you'll think about it. Because episode, it's like, oh, who's showing up? When are they showing up? Are they?
I also love the other Nitro thing that they do a lot. They do it more later than they did in this era. Is like at the beginning of the program, they'll film a stretch limousine coming in, right? And then they'll be like, who's in it, right? Yeah. And then like every commercial break, they'll just cut to a parked car. And then like 10 minutes before the end of the show, someone emerges from the car, right? Someone is in their limo for like 2.5 hours.
Right? At one point, the limos turn into Hummers, too.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of Hummers. Yeah.
All right. So.
Okay.
Roddy Piper comes out. Right, he does some horrible comedy. He assaults the NWO.
If you had to put a number on how many dollars worth of cocaine Roddy Piper did before this promo, what dollar amount would you put?
How much would all of the cocaine cost?
Piper is generally like a pretty high energy guy, we'll say diplomatically.
Sure.
But this promo literally makes no sense. And he's like fidgety and has nasal drip. Like, he is very clearly on cocaine, right?
I've made sense of this promo.
Okay.
So he makes fun of the NWO. I forget what the odd comedy was because we watched this like a week.
Yeah.
But Piper says he's going to make a family.
Uh-huh.
There's six guys in the back. We'll take them on one at a time.
Yep.
Fans will give the thumb up or thumbs down, and that will determine his new family.
Yes. The fans get to vote on the family.
Then he calls himself an idiot a bunch. Does some Back to the Future references.
Yes, he does do some Back to the Future references.
He does. And then we get on to this contest.
Yeah. He has one awful line about Hogan where he says, not awful like offensive, just awful like not funny, where he says, Hogan has a lot of problems, but insomnia isn't one because I've put him to sleep twice.
That's my odd comedy line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's bad. That's bad even for Piper, right?
Yeah. I love that he's like warning us that this is really stupid and an awful idea.
Oh yeah. No, he hates it. You can tell. He tries really hard to get it over, but he knows it's going to.
I wonder whose idea it was.
God. At some point in my notes here, I wrote, did Hogan have creative control over this segment? Because it's designed to make Piper look awful.
What's so funny is going into this, Piper was the most over man in the world.
Yeah.
Coming out of it, he wasn't.
He was not. No, this segment legitimately killed Roddy Piper's heat.
It's amazing.
What are your thoughts on Piper as a performer? Are you pro Piper?
I there's the racist stuff, which is uncomfortable. And a lot of his promos now are unacceptable. But he's very charismatic. He's got a lot of high energy. I like his kind of short brawls from the 80s. Yeah.
I like the Portland stuff a lot.
Yeah, the Portland stuff's really good. I like his stuff in Mid-Atlantic. But yeah, I don't think it holds up just because it's the mentality at the time wasn't good. But nothing in the 80s holds up because it's all awful.
Sure.
I was watching a WWF house show from 86 and fucking Gorilla just fat shaming everyone and it's just awful. Yeah.
Anytime someone talks, it's terrible. The wrestling is still pretty good.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I mean by
that. Yeah, I would agree with that assessment that Piper is probably a worse promo that he is remembered for, but maybe a better wrestler than he is remembered as, you know?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
But he does have unbelievable charisma.
Oh, yeah. Just totally. If someone in WWE had his
physical charisma and connection now, like, I mean, they would be like, if young Piper came to WWE now, and like, don't tell me that Dean Ambrose is young, like if actual young Piper came to WWE, I mean, he would be pushed to the moon. He'd be a 15-time champion, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I felt that about Ambrose when like he was in Florida, like,
yeah,
early on, and he was like feuding with Regal. Like, it seemed like he had that kind of charisma and stuff, but yeah, it's disappeared.
It's interesting because, I mean, he, like, that face run that Ambrose had, like, when he was fighting Brock and stuff and, like, won the belt for a minute, like...
Oh, I was there in Toronto when he faced Triple H for the title, and it looked like, yeah, he won the title. Like, it was, like, bonkers. Everyone was losing it.
I mean, like, that run is terrible, but, like, he was so over during it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting. Anyway, doesn't matter. All right, so... Dean Ambrose is actually a fine segue, because the first dude that comes out in this match is wrestling in full length jeans. So,
let's talk about the outfit of everyone, because there's a weird consistency.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll go in order. We'll do a little fashion assessment, not to steal Colette's gimmick, but. We'll do a little fashion assessment.
Yeah, so full jeans for the first dude, and he gets tapped out in like a minute.
To like a fucking hammer lock.
Yeah.
He taps out to a hammer lock.
Like, how did this guy get a tryout to be on Piper's team?
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, like, yeah. It's pretty unbelievable. Anyway, so that dude gets tapped out. The second dude comes out, has the best out.
Do you know who the second dude is?
No, who's the second dude?
It's Horseshoe Luther Reigns.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
In jorts.
In like fucking cut off Daisy Dukes.
Yep. Yes.
So this match, I mean, match loosely, also is like a minute, but he gets in some offense.
He does.
Like,
yeah.
He has a pretty good left hand. Good for Luther Reigns. Has a pretty good punch. You know?
Yeah.
And then he gets put in the sleeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's out.
He gets the thumbs down. I don't even think the first guy they even tempted it. But good old Horseshoe.
Yeah, I think Piper just started to shoot him out of the ring. Yeah. This guy got the thumbs down. Yeah.
But Horseshoe got the thumbs up, thumbs down. So he's out.
Yeah.
Then another guy number in three comes out.
Yeah, full-length jeans again. By the way, all three of the jeans have been the exact same color. They're all like that mid-90s light denim.
Yeah, it was like they bought them at the store and just cut them different lengths.
Yep, yeah. to keep them apart so that we wouldn't get confused.
Yeah, but this guy gets fucking sneaked attacked by a dude in boxing gloves.
Yep, yeah. A random dude who is literally wearing work boots, a pair of red fucking boxers, like literal underwear, like boxer briefs.
Yeah.
And really, and then short boxing gloves. That.
So he comes to the ring because he's knocked the guy out. So number three's out.
Yep. So number four is in the ring.
Yeah, and he throws Piper boxing gloves.
Yep. And Piper puts on boxing gloves. They proceed to have a terrible boxing match.
I wrote boxing match boring for a while, then they shake hands.
So let's talk about this dude. So this dude, by the way, who comes out, who's ostensibly supposed to be on like a face team. I mean, Piper's the most over baby face in the company.
Yeah.
He comes out, he fucking sneak attacks a dude, and then he sneak attacks Piper and hits him with a forearm in a boxing match.
Yeah. But it's good so far because, like, they've each had different styles.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess. I mean, the first two dudes' styles were, like, lose quickly, so they had similar styles.
Yeah.
This dude goes on. I think that Piper legit gets knocked down in this and then gets mad and starts to, like, lay it in a little bit.
Yeah. What I love here, too, is, like, after a while, they shake hands. Piper says, thumbs up, and the crowd boos. And then Piper's like, you guys are being too harsh. So they start fighting again.
Piper tries to save it. They start brawling again.
Yeah.
And like, so the part, by the way, when the crowd shits on it the first time, Tony Schiavone just goes, oh boy. Like, like it is the most you can say. Like, everyone knows this is dying. Yeah. Right.
So after they fight again, Piper gives him the thumbs up, huge boos.
But
he's on the team because Piper likes him. So
yep.
This bullshit right. about the fans picking his new family.
Yeah.
Outright lie.
Outright lie. Yeah. All right. So then the fifth dude, yep. I guess.
Barefoot yeah. martial arts dude.
Yeah. He's wearing a wrestling singlet and track pants.
Yep.
That have cuffs at the bottom, like mid-90s style.
Yeah.
And no shoes or socks.
He's an old man, too.
Yeah. All right. So, like, this dude looks like if Balls Mahoney and Dutch Mantel had a baby.
And the baby was their grandfather.
And the baby was their grandfather who had samurai tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a bunch of kicks, a thumbs in the eyes.
Yeah.
Crowd is silent.
By the way, this dude cannot sell at all.
No.
So Piper's only offense in this match, in this section of the match, I should say, is a thumb to the eye, which the dude just sort of like shakes his head at, right?
Yeah.
And then a low blow, which the dude just falls down. Like, he just takes a bump. Like, it is bad. Like, this dude is bad.
Yeah. Boy. But then.
Oh, so, yeah, then.
Then we got a fucking saver.
We got, all right. Well, before the, let's finish. Let's do the end of this one, right?
I forgot because, what happened. It was just odd.
It's so the dude gets Piper up like halfway for a press slam, right? Like he's holding on for dear life, and then he looks like he makes like he's going to literally throw Piper out of the ring, and then Piper like calls time out and comes down and is like, all right, you're on the team. He doesn't even ask the crowd. He just unilaterally decides this guy's on the team because he doesn't want to get killed by the dude.
Yeah, that's a smart decision.
It is a smart decision.
Yeah.
By the way, Piper at this point is gassed.
Oh, yeah.
It's been like 10 minutes.
He just and fought Piper five men. Done.
Okay, for like 2 minutes each.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But
it's like that George Carlin joke. I've never had sex with a 10, but one time I had sex with 5 2s. That's good. That's like Piper in this match. 5 2s. And then John Tenta, an actual 10.
The fucking man comes
the
out.
The fucking man.
And
for those of you who may not have listened to Steven on literally any other podcast or have ever read anything that he wrote on PWO, John Tenta is Steven's Huckleberry.
Oh, he's the fucking man.
Yeah. He's the greatest wrestler of all time, except for maybe Don Morocco.
Maybe Brad. One of those three.
Yeah.
But Tenta, one of those three. Tenta throws the best dropkick of those three.
Right.
Tenta throws the best dropkick of those three.
That's probably true, yeah. Actually.
Okay. If you ever just want to watch good wrestling, just type Earthquake Bossman into YouTube and watch whatever comes up. It's awesome. All of it.
That is great advice. That is really great advice.
If you're ever in a funk with wrestling, just do that. You'll be happy.
Yeah.
But,
you know, like, that's a good thing. Like, this show, even though the show is sort of about, like, maybe objectively bad wrestling, let's say, except for the Lucha Trios that we watched a couple weeks ago. That is objectively good. But, you know, like, at least some of the stuff that we have watched is joyous in some way, and I'm very happy about that, you know?
Yeah. It's all good. It's
yeah.
really good. Yeah. But yeah, John Tenta comes out, and everyone fucking freaks out, because he's the best. And Piper doesn't even fight him, because, like,
no.
the boxer and the martial artist kind of all start fighting against each other.
Yep. And
then
they try and beat up Tenta.
Yeah, because they're scared of him.
Yep, because they're scared of him.
And then Piper breaks it up, and he says, This is now the family. Hogan, you want a war? And then he Inoki slaps all of them. Then he says, you got a war. And then NWO stands for No Way Out.
All right. You missed the opening line of that promo where Piper says, I think now the rain in Spain has fallen. Which is a My Fair Lady reference?
I don't know.
But, well, I mean, it is, but, like, it has literally nothing to do with anything. Like, that's the scene of My Fair Lady where Eliza Doolittle, like, learns to speak proper English, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't understand what that has to do with Piper's family being formed at all. It's just him saying words that you remember.
Oh, man. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So, one of the highest ranked segments in the history of ratings in wrestling.
Yep.
Which
just proves that John Tenta is objectively a better wrestler than Roman Reigns. Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah.
Than anyone, yeah. Really. Yeah.
So, but obviously something happens because this is not Piper's team when we get to Uncensored.
No, and you couldn't pay me enough to watch the Nitro to find out why not.
Okay, so basically what happens on Nitro is that the Horsemen come out, and Arn Anderson does a promo saying that Piper's team is not ready and that the Horsemen should be inserted.
Apparently, John Tenta was going to be involved. I don't know if he was going to be involved with the Four Horsemen in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
But they changed the angle on the telecast without telling him.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, the door pops open. Bam! Goddamn motherfucker! And me and my brother sitting there like, what's wrong with Tenta? That son of a bitch! I'll stretch his fucking ass! So me and my brother go, John, calm down, man. What's up? That son of a bitch! He said blah, blah, blah. And he was talking about Arn Anderson. And we were trying to calm him down. The man was red. That's how mad he was. Apparently, Arn came and did a promo. And he said something about, they're not ready. And Tenta said, when he said that in the interview, Arn Anderson looked at him. And I guess whatever the anger was has been squashed. And he didn't know until that moment. But this man was ready to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I just remember this guy, man, I never seen anybody this pissed off. And then as he's boiling over, oh, expletive this, expletive that, son of a bitch, I will do this, I will stretch this, he doesn't know, I will do this, I will. All of a sudden, the door opens on this end, it's Arn Anderson.
Oh, no.
Arn looks in and sees, oh, he just closes the door right back.
Did Tenta see him? Did
no.
He, oh, he didn't see him,
and
okay.
Me and my brother didn't tell him either.
So, that's fucking awesome. But
yeah.
let's get to the insider scoops to see what happened.
Sure.
All right. So originally before Piper, it was supposed to be Sting's team as the third team.
Okay.
But Piper was so fucking over, they decided to wait on Sting.
Yeah.
So, okay.
WCW, like, aside from, like, the fact that they, like, booked every finish wrong possible. Like, the builds to stuff were actually pretty good back then.
Yeah,
like, they went with the hot hand as well.
Yeah, the Sting Hogan shit was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and even, like, the Piper Hogan stuff is pretty good. Like, it drew well. Like, yeah.
Except for, like, but Piper spending a night in Alcatraz or whatever.
Yeah, right. Which he talks about in the first promo cut.
Do you remember that? Oh, man.
No, yeah, I remember it. It's awful.
That's good.
That's like a pure Piper idea where like only Roddy Piper could be like, this is gonna be awesome, right?
So apparently Piper had creative control. So he suggested a team of outsiders.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't really say no, so they went with it.
Yeah.
All right. So he wanted Tenta, because they were personal friends.
Sure.
He also got work for his bodyguard, Gopher, and a friend of his from his straight-to-video action movies. The Gopher was joked to be Piper's Brutai backstage. So they realized how massive a disaster it was as it was happening. And yeah. People wanted to call an audible and have the show end with Piper's team getting destroyed. But no one could figure out how to tell Piper. So after Nitro, they were thinking of finding a way to pull Jarrett and Mongo from the Public Enemy match at the pay-per-view and shorten Benoit's injury angle to get them in there instead. That's what they ended up doing.
That is what they ended up doing. Yeah.
So the Horsemen became Piper's team.
Yeah. By the way, the Horsemen of Jeff Jarrett, Chris Benoit, and Mongo, like the shittiest possible Horsemen.
Yeah. Why wasn't Arn still injured? I don't know.
Yeah. Arn was out at this point.
Yeah.
So the Horsemen, and like, this was at the time when they were doing that angle where Arn thought Jarrett was like tanking matches intentionally and wasn't a true Horseman.
But like, Deborah wanted him to be a Horseman.
Yeah, but Deborah wanted him to be a Horseman. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Wait. Okay. So we're at Uncensored 1997 now. We're moving on.
We are. Yeah.
It's an event like no other in the history of pro wrestling. When it ends, it will change the history of wrestling forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what percentage of 90s WCW pay-per-views do you feel like had a similar tagline to that?
Oh, probably.
I'd say from 96 to 99, it's got to be like two-thirds of them. We're going to change business forever, right?
And, you know, a bunch of them actually did.
I mean, I suppose on some level, every pay-per-view does change business forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is just one continuity in wrestling, and so, like, just by doing anything, it changes the business forever, yeah. Right? But that's not what they mean. That's not what they mean at all.
No.
So.
The actual tagline is, you'll never see it coming. Which is good. I love that WCW had taglines. That's always awesome.
Oh, yeah. The taglines are great.
Oh, yeah. So let's look at the show before the main event. Because it's actually... Yeah,
which I watched none of, by the way.
Oh, it's fucking awesome, though. Okay.
Is it?
Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero for the U.S. title.
Oh, for the U.S. title. I remember that match,
yeah,
actually.
Going 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Ultimo Dragon versus Psychosis.
Okay.
Glacier versus Mortis.
Always a classic.
Bagwell versus Riggs in a strap match.
That sounds awful.
But they were the American males broken up.
Yeah, they were. I understand the reasoning. Just doesn't sound very good.
Harlem Heat versus Public Enemy in a Texas Tornado match.
That could go either way.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. And then for the TV title, Prince Iaukea defending against Rey Mysterio Jr.
Is that the Cruiserweight or the TV title?
TV title.
Really?
Yeah. Remember, because Rocky won the TV title, so... No. Iaukea won the TV title.
Yeah.
And then... WWF put their own rookie Islander to win the IC title as a counter. It might be the other way around. I forget which way.
Yeah.
But, that's it. They had two rookie Islander champions in both companies. That was fun. So, here's the rules.
Please tell me this. So, I made the mistake of skipping Michael Buffer's rules explanation. And... I was lost for like 80% of this match. But before we get to the rules, I do want to give our intrepid listeners some advice. And if you go back to watch this after we talk about it, God help you. But if you do that, you should watch the promo for Spring Stampede.
Oh, yes.
That happens right before the main event, where Arn Anderson and Ric Flair are literal cowboys. Like talking about fighting bandits and shit. And it's so dumb that even Dusty makes fun of it after it's over. Like, of course Heenan makes fun of it, But even Dusty is like, yeah, that was fucking terrible. Like,
it's amazing that, like, man, they really used that Turner Broadcasting stuff. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. Like, that promo has a budget. Like, that probably had a director. And, like,
oh, yeah.
They gave Flair acting notes. Like, there was someone wrote a script for that. Like,
yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, watch it. It's really great. All right.
Yeah.
So, there's four rounds and there's three teams. All right.
5 minute
rounds. 5 minute rounds. One
like minute. World of Sport. Yeah.
Sorry, the first one's 5 minutes. The next, each of the other rounds are 2 minutes. And then the fourth round has no time limit.
Sure, because the match has to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at each round, a new member of each team enters. So three people enter.
Yeah.
All right. So last man enters. So the match continues until last man standing. You can be eliminated by pinfall, KO, DQ, over the top rope. I didn't write down submission, so that must be an option though.
Well, yeah, I mean, the finish, two people get submitted, right?
I wonder if they didn't say it or if I just missed it.
Eh, it doesn't matter.
All right.
So as I said earlier, I did not listen to the rules of this
you
match.
Have to.
And so then when the first, literally like the first elimination happens, it is over the top rope.
Of course.
And I just burst out laughing, right?
Why was WCW so obsessed with this over the top rope rule?
Because of the old NWA rules, right?
I always found it so stupid. Because, like,
it's a terrible rule.
If it's supposed to be so dangerous, then they should never have battle royals.
It is hilarious that they, like, they literally have had a pay-per-view for 3 years running called World War III. It was like a 60-man over the top rope thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how you get eliminated. But,
all right. Here's the stipulations for victory.
Okay.
WCW wins, okay? That happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The NWO will return all the title belts, and the NWO will be not allowed to wrestle in WCW for 3 years. So
okay.
WCW is not winning.
Yeah. Rule that one right out. Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. 3 years?
Yeah, that's a... Yeah, loser leaves town forever match.
Yeah. Next up, if the NWO wins, they may wrestle for any WCW title at any place at any time of their choosing.
Yep. You basically get super money in the bank privileges.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And finally, if Team Piper wins, Hogan must face Roddy Piper in a cage. Which, even though, spoiler alert, Piper's team doesn't win, he still gets that cage match.
Yeah, that match still happens. So who's the real winner?
Yeah, Piper didn't even need to show up, and he still got what he wanted.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just like Fall Brawl 96, one of WCW's members gets taken out.
Yep.
And WCW is so fucking stupid.
Yeah, they don't fill in the hole.
They don't replace the dude.
They don't replace Rick Steiner.
Just fucking throw anyone out there.
Literally anyone. One of the people that you cut from Roddy Piper's team would have been better than no one.
One of the dudes facing on the undercard. Bring out Dean Malenko.
Put in Tenta. Yeah.
Then Tenta would have to face Piper. That wouldn't be allowed.
No. Well, I mean, Tenta. Can you imagine Tenta versus the Giant? Well, they're on the same team, so they wouldn't have had to. Tenta and the Giant against
they're
the
unbeatable.
Outsiders.
Glacier?
Good one out of it.
Fucking put Glacier in there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's annoying. They did it at Fall Brawl as well, so that pisses me off.
Yeah,
they didn't learn their lesson.
Yeah. It's an exercise in hubris. Never learn. They always are good. Also, like, the number of people that turned on WCW, you'd think they would have like 8 people on their team.
Yeah. To make it even stupider, this part annoyed me as well. Okay.
Okay.
So they have one less person, right?
Yep.
All right. If you're going to skip a round, which round would you skip?
The first round, obviously.
Nope. Skip round number 4. fuck. Oh, yeah. So that annoyed me. The logic here is just WCW is just whoever's like giving them advice, their wrestlers, is a moron.
Yep.
Okay. So, round one.
Well, I mean, like, of course. So, like, I mean, think about it, though. Like, it, outside of kayfabe, right? Like, you have all these old guys like Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan with creative control who have the ears of various people like Eric Bischoff, right? And, like, of course they're going to give terrible advice because they're all fucking morons. Like, they're not brain geniuses, you know? Like,
it's true.
Yeah.
So, round one. First up, it's Chris Benoit coming out to Roddy Piper's music.
All right. We need to talk about the music choices throughout this match. Because they play music for people like half the time. At first I thought there was just team music, but then some people have individual music.
It's baffling. Like,
yeah. Macho Man doesn't have music. He just has a sound clip of him saying, oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, what is happening? Yeah. It's like the machine was broken. Like,
So we got Benoit coming out to Piper's theme. We got Big Show coming out to Luger's theme. And we have Hall coming out to the NWO theme. So that's fine. By the way, another Big Show match.
Another Big Show match. Really, Big Show looked in great shape in this match. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, he has cut, like, imagine having that dude on your roster who got that good within a year and not having him be the champion for, like, the next 2 years, right?
He should have just dominated everything.
I mean, like, that storyline, like, if they had done that where it was just like, you know, you have Hogan feuding with Sting and feuding with Piper, but then you have the rest of the NWO just feuding with the Giant, who's fucking dominant, you know, like they book him like they book Braun on Raw now or whatever.
And like instead, like, they had him join the NWO and leave it and then join it and then leave it.
Yeah,
like they should have, they should have had him join it and then eventually like decide that he's had enough of Hogan's bullshit and then destroy Hogan and
that's it. Right, that's it. That's all they needed
and then
to do.
Try
right?
the man but, until Goldberg comes around and Goldberg beats him, and then you just roll the money up.
Yeah, I mean, but like they left a lot of money on the table with Big Show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I feel poor Big Show. He's so good, and he's been in so many bad things.
I know. Well, like he's like on a third of our shows.
Yeah, he really is.
Poor guy. Anyways, Big Show is the first one eliminated. As right at the...
Because he goes over the top rope.
He goes over the top rope when Scott Hall ducks right before round two starts.
Yep. Yeah.
And then... anything
by the way,
to say
the camera
about
work...
One?
No, it's terrible. This whole match is bad. There's like nothing memorable about this match.
It's like just a lackluster house show battle royal.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. By the way, what I will say about this match is not actually about any of the wrestling. The camera work in this match is terrible. They miss everything important. Like, literally everything is missed. Like, they miss Big Show getting eliminated. They miss, like, five or six eliminations.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I would say that they miss more eliminations than they actually catch.
It's true. Oh, boy. So, round two.
Yeah.
Look at this group. Jeff Jarrett, Randy Savage, and Lex Luger.
Yeah.
By the way, Lex Luger is the most over motherfucker in the world.
Oh, God, yeah. All right. Wait, let's do this. This is it. So, go over, before we talk about round two specifically, let's play a fun game.
Okay.
Read out all the three people coming out for each team for each round, and decide which would be the best war for you.
Which be the best person for me, for my team?
No. Which would be the best war trio, like wrestling and romance.
Oh, okay.
Trio.
Oh, this is good. Okay. So, team one would be... Oh, fuck, where'd it go? Oh, yeah. Benoit, Benoit, the Giant, and Scott Hall.
Okay, that's a pretty good team. Yeah.
Round two, Jeff Jarrett, Randy Savage, Lex Luger.
I like that team better than round one. Yeah. Yeah.
Round three is my favorite. Mongo, Kevin Nash, and Scott Steiner. Round four is Piper and Hogan.
Yeah, pass.
And Rick Steiner, I guess.
And Rick Steiner, sure, yeah.
But yeah, Mongo, Nash, and Steiner is a fucking amazing team.
Yeah, it's round two or round three, right? Yeah. Like, Mongo, Nash, and Steiner is really good, but Savage, Jarrett, and Luger is a great team, too.
Yeah. I have a question.
Okay.
All right, so you know what happens if each team wins, right?
Yes.
Why doesn't WCW and Piper's team up to take it the NWO?
At any point, the announcers even comment on it. They're like, the NWO is the only team showing teamwork.
But like WCW and Piper's team, it should be what? What the hell is it? A 7-on-4.
Yeah, like honestly, like this match is like built to present the NWO like valiant baby faces.
Yeah. So nothing happens for this 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, literally nothing. Like so little happens in this match. Honestly, it's bad.
All right. The one thing that was good though was Scott Hall like kept going for the razor's edge on Jarrett, but Jarrett kept getting out of it. Like it happened like four times.
There's a lot of standing around in this match. There's a lot of times where like someone will be doing a move and like someone will clearly be waiting for them to finish doing the move before they attack them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we got round three now. Jarrett out. Mongo goes for a pile driver on Hall.
He sure does.
But it gets countered. He gets tossed. And that's it for round three. Round four, it's just Roddy Piper.
Piper comes out by himself, right?
And Scott Steiner's tossed.
Yep. Jeff Jarrett got eliminated in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, I don't think I wrote down where Jarrett was eliminated. Oh, no, Jarrett's out before in round three, yeah. Jarrett goes out.
Yeah, I think him and Mongo get eliminated at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so then Piper comes out, Steiner's out, and then a minute counter appears. I have no idea why.
For no reason. By the way, so every round in this match, they count down from a minute, not 10 seconds. They literally put a fucking minute timer on this.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That minute ends up, even though, you know, there's no time limit, whatever. Hogan comes out with Rodman.
Yeah. Kenneth Rodman is very
Yeah. And there's no music, but like, there's just random NWO sayings.
Yep. they too sweet more in this match
than the Young
than
Bucks.
The entirety of All In.
Possible.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman eliminates Roddy Piper.
Yeah, he does. He pulls down the top rope and eliminates Roddy Piper.
And they're like totally setting up a Piper Rodman match.
100% that is what they were doing. Yeah.
That never happened.
Thank God that never happened.
Man, did you ever see Rodman versus Savage?
Yes.
Fucking awesome.
We should do the Karl Malone match.
Oh, we should do a series with the Jay Leno match and the Karl match.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
One day.
WCW celebrity matches are pretty good.
Oh, I like their football ones, though. Anyways.
Yeah.
So,
Kevin Green was actually really good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So
Benoit's out. That means who's left? Lex Luger and all of the NWO.
And the entire NWO.
So Luger goes nuts. He torture racks Macho. He submits. He knocks Nash over the top rope. He's gone. He racks Hall. He's gone. Boom.
Yeah.
Like 1 minute, he eliminates all three. So Logan
Luger. Luger literally has a one-man hot tag.
He does. Like, it's awesome.
And of course, camera misses. Like, so Luger is getting set up for a jackknife powerbomb, and the camera cuts away to show who knows what. Dennis Rodman, probably. And then when they come back, Luger has escaped the powerbomb and is killing people.
Yeah.
Like, we have no idea what happened, aside from the fact that the powerbomb didn't, right?
Fuck, Lex Luger's over, though, eh?
Oh, man, he's so over.
It's awesome.
Lex Luger's really good, too. He's a bad rep. He's good.
He's so good from, like, 88 till maybe about 98 he starts to fall off, but
yeah.
Damn, yeah. So it's down to Hogan and Luger.
He's a guy who finishes never did any favors for.
Oh,
like,
no, he's the Roman Reigns of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect thing.
Yeah.
You know?
If they're not careful,
we'll
end up that way.
I know we said we wouldn't talk about Dave, but I think he's hurt a lot by Dave, you know?
Yeah, he didn't like him.
Yeah, I mean, because Dave liked Brody, you know, and so, like, he always painted Luger as this, like, total pansy.
Yeah, well.
You know?
Yeah, well, Brody wasn't. Anyways.
No. Nope. Yeah.
So we're down to Luger and Hogan. The crowd's insane. Hogan and Luger go at it. Luger racks him.
Yeah.
Savage comes from behind, sprays Luger in the eyes, nails him with the spray paint, and then the NWO wins.
Yeah. All the while, Kevin Nash is literally, like, hugging the referee so that he doesn't see this from happening. Like,
'cause there's rules.
Which makes zero sense, right? He's, like, literally physically holding his head in place so he doesn't see the interference, which is interference in and of itself, right?
Yep. So then the NWO spray paints some shit and the show's over, right?
That's the show. That's it.
Yeah. But actually, fucking Sting shows up.
Yeah,
it's like
sure does.
One of the biggest pops of all time.
Yeah.
He repels from
people
the
ceiling. People go bananas.
Yeah.
For Sting.
Well, this is like the first Sting time, like, Sting, like, showed what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this whole angle they did so good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, Scott Hall enters and he's like, oh, what's going on? And he just fucking kills him with a baseball bat.
Yeah. Just obliterates him, right?
Does it to Savage, does it to Nash, does the Scorpion Death Drop to all of them. And then what the fuck did I write here? Oh, yeah. Dusty goes, all hell broke loose at Uncensored, and hell brought with him a baseball bat, which is, like, one of my favorite lines ever by Dusty.
I will say, like, I really love the announcing at this time. Like, when Luger does his comeback, and, like, all three announcers, even though they have their favorites and, like, Brain is ostensibly a heel, like, they all hate the NWO so much that they all just, like, put aside any sort of, like, you know, objectivity and are just, like, cheering like fans for Luger. And it really gets over how important everything felt, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. In a second, I guess. So Sting comes in and Sting just kills Hogan, lays it out, and the show ends.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The crowd's insane. The only issue with, like, making it feel important, whatever, like, they just move on. They're like, Sting's here. Fuck everything. The NWO may be able to challenge for any title at any time, but fucking Sting's here, so who cares?
Sting's here. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Sting is here. He's the savior. The franchise.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Yeah, that Sting moment was, like, just amazing.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a great wrestling. It really is.
Screw over the baby faces and then have, like, that big turnaround to kind of save everything.
Yeah. Man, it's so interesting because, like, I mean, I guess there's a reason that we, like, I have such clear memories of the Sting, you know, appearance. But, like, it honestly sort of surprised me because I had no recollection that it was this pay-per-view, you know? And, like, this match preceding it was like so terrible, right? And like just so like mediocre, right? It didn't even make the NWO look all that evil, no. Right? Or that like they would like they had done way worse shit, you know?
Yeah. So here is the eliminations according to Wikipedia. Okay. So the Giant. Okay, so it says number of elimination, the wrestler, the team, who they're eliminated by, the elimination move, and the time. Okay.
Okay.
So first is the Giant from Team WCW, eliminated by not applicable over the top rope at 4:55. Then Jarrett's out. He's eliminated over the top rope. Mongo's out. He's eliminated over the top rope. Scott Steiner's out. He's eliminated over the top rope. Roddy Piper's out. He is eliminated over the top rope. Benoit's out. He's eliminated over the top rope. Fuck. Savage is out. Torture Rack. Nash over the top rope. Hall, Torture Rack. Lex Luger is the last one eliminated by Hogan. Pinned after Savage sprayed Luger in the eyes with spray paint. Survivor, Hulk Hogan.
Sure, of course. Of course.
So
here's my question. You know, they did go out of their way to say that it's like one winner, right? So if the NWO had just pinned Lex Luger after the Jackknife Powerbomb or whatever, yeah. Would it have turned into a Cybernetico and they would have had to face each other?
But then, like, what would they get if they, like...
I don't know.
Whoever's the sole survivor gets to choose who challenges for what title?
Maybe.
Or like,
yeah.
Scott Hall, you have to slim down and challenge for the Cruiserweight title.
For the Cruiserweight, yeah.
Because I don't like you. Oh yeah, so I know probably wouldn't recommend the match, but fucking watch the finish, like watch from the point where everyone's gone except for the NWO and Luger, watch that, and then watch Sting come in. That's awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's all great. That's the, you know,
oh good stuff. Thanks,
good stuff.
Recommending it to the person who did, Mad Dog. Thank you for recommending that. It was a fun watch for sure.
Yeah. And I'm glad that we watched some context too.
Yeah.
You know,
we should fit that in when we can.
Yeah. I mean, I like it's interesting watching like that stuff beforehand, but, yeah, no, we should try and fit in some more context. I like that. It's a good idea.
That helps. But
granted, that means we have to watch more Nitro.
Hopefully. So, do you we never gave our recommendations. Any other thoughts about this before we move on to next week?
No, I have no more thoughts about this. Other than like, it's interesting, I guess, to watch it with hindsight. Like watching all the NWO stuff with hindsight is interesting, but like, at this point, when it was at its hottest, in my brain, I still sort of feel like it's overbooked and booked poorly, when at the time it probably wasn't, you know? Yeah. So it's interesting to watch back with, like, the context of now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the stuff was fun at the end.
Yeah, for sure. No, the stuff at the end is great.
Yeah. So next week, Michael
Dorazzi.
Yeah. He suggested that we watch your favorite match of all time. the championship scramble match where Brian Kendrick was an interim champion.
Yes. Yeah. From Unforgiven 2008. Yeah,
so we'll be back next week with that classic. I don't remember it at all. So Brian Kendrick was the champion. I don't know what the fuck's happening. So we'll find out next week.